He's exciting. It's good to be here today with you. Here's our scriptural affirmation for today. It comes from Isaiah, starting at the 5th chapter, 9 through 14. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor. Glory and blessing."
And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever."
And the four beasts said,
may we be like them, Lord, that we worship you forever and ever and ever and ever. And the way that we live this day would give you glory. The way that we live tomorrow will give you glory, that you will get glory from our presence and we will receive you into this place. You're here already, Lord, but we want you to know that we want you. We want you to know we want to be led by you. We want you to know we need to be empowered by you. We want you to know we need to be healed by you. We want you to know that we need your deliverance. Without you, we could do nothing. Oh, Father, we praise you. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, we expect you. Oh, Father, do your thing in this place, this day. We just need you, Lord. We need you. We want you. We desire you. Oh, Lord, have your way in this place, this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Been there. I'm so glad that you've been there, Jesus. We needed you so very much. We needed you each and every step of the way. We need you. We can do nothing without you. We need you. And we're asking that this day you would be here. Without you, we can do nothing, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So strengthen us this day. Work in us this day. Move in us this day. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way in this place. Speak. Speak. Let your children be listening. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a time, as you turn with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The things that have been swirling around in my head, swirling around. This is, of all weekends, a time where we should remember. Where were you September 11th? I know where I was. I was when the Twin Towers fell. I was in a car going down Route 77 with three preachers. And we were on our way to Seneca Lake. Passed a truck on the way down with my friend Gordon Gibson, who was driving. And we waved at him, and he saw us, and he gave us a telephone call. And said, "You guys need to turn on the radio." And we did, and the towers, the first tower fell. And it was just an amazing thing, and we listened to all the reports. And here we are in this car, and we're trying to decide, you know, we're going somewhere to do something for God and learn something. I was on my way to a conference called Refocusing, learning how to help the church refocus. And at that conference, we were to learn some things about your a timeline and how that would help you by looking back at some of the big moments in your life, by marking those and seeing what God was doing along the way. You got a sense of what your calling was, and you could do that for churches as well. You could get a sense of what the calling was and where we were supposed to be going and how we were supposed to be doing that. And there we were, you know, in this car on the way down, and life changed. And it was so amazing. And so we voted in the car to keep on going. And that was the only time I've ever seen television at Seneca Lake. The only time. It's a retreat center that we have in the Southern Baptist. And we were there, and we learned all of these wonderful things, and it really had impact. Actually, it had impact even here in this church. We did some really neat things because of that. And it's fascinating. We were practicing, okay, how do you navigate life when all of this stuff is going on? What choices do you make? Does everything trip you up? Does everything stop you? Even really momentous, serious stuff. You know, we all had to check with our wives and making sure it was okay to keep going. And it was just an amazing, amazing thing. And so that was the 11th of September. So I was thinking of that. And then the 12th of September is my birthday. Now, that may not be momentous to you, but when you're as old as I am, it becomes, every one of them becomes a momentous thing. You were looking like, you know, if we're, this is rungs on a ladder, it's like I'm up to a scary place. You know, and so this is like this crazy thing. And so this weekend, as you know, the 11th, we're looking back. We're looking back and seeing the craziness, the madness of how things can come into life and just throw you. And then on the 12th, I got my birthday, and on my birthday was the funeral of an old friend. And it was really fascinating, because when I went to that funeral, it was like I was reminded of my past. I was reminded of what God pulled me up out of. That I was translated out of darkness and brought into His marvelous light. It was like walking into a time capsule and seeing the work of God in a way that was really hard to even be able to share with you. So God's continuing to work. So I've got the memories of the 11th, how our nation is so vulnerable, and we think we're so impervious, but we're so vulnerable. And then looking personally and seeing how vulnerable I was. The fellow that died is 2 years younger than I am. And he leaned back in his bed at home and died. And I'm thinking about what's this going on, Lord? And then we look at the scripture and we begin to understand chapter 6 of Isaiah in a fresh way. Look with me at chapter 6. This is Isaiah writing this, and Isaiah has already in the first 5 chapters told us how messed up Israel had gotten. All of the sin that it had fallen into, all of the danger that was all around, all of the things that were going on that were scary and rough and thought-provoking. You know, any thoughtful person would have to say, what in the world is going on? Is there no protection for us? Is there no God that loves us? What's happening here? And then here in the 6th chapter, Isaiah, this prophet who had access to the throne room. He knew the kings. He was a prophet of God. And in this, Isaiah says, in the year King Uzziah died, he was a reforming king. He was a good king for most of his reign. Now, near the end of his reign, he messed up. Kind of got cocky because he'd had so much success for such a long period of time. He decided that he could be like one of the priests and go offer in the sanctuary. And he had gone into the sanctuary and the priest said, no, no, no. And as soon as he got in there, it was a bad thing. He got a skin disease. And they threw him out of the sanctuary. And so he ended his reign in isolation with his son taking over. So it was kind of a co-regency of the last year of his life. He had messed up. Oh, how sad would it be not to finish well? How sad would it be to have done so well for so long and not finish well? And so there he is, and he dies this year. And in the year that King Uzziah died, the hope of Israel died. The hope of the people of God died. The dreams that Israel had died. There were all kinds of enemies all around. And where was the strong government? Where was the strong leader that they needed? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He has a vision of God. A vision of God. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Oh, it was glorious. It was so glorious. It was so amazing. And his train filled the temple. His very presence, his very glory filled the whole place that he was. And it was something great and wonderful. And there was nothing like it that he had ever seen before. It was, oh, amazing. And then there were these seraphim. Above the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. And with 2 of those wings, he covered his face. And with 2, he covered his feet. And with 2, he did fly. He was flying around above the throne of God. And yet he was being humble. Oh, I can't look on God. Oh, I can't be where he is. It's amazing because he's so holy. He's holy. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, 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 see him today. Holy, holy, holy. Recognize him today. Holy, holy, holy. He wants to do something for us today. Holy, holy, holy. We need to bow our hearts down to him today. Holy, holy, holy. There's none other like him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy is the one who controls all of the armies. Holy. Whole earth is full of his glory. And when they said, holy, 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 the post of the door moved. Everything was shaking. Imagine the sound, the feel of that. It was so, it rattled your bones. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Have you noticed lately, there's just been a lot of clouds. It's just been cloudy, and sometimes I just feel like I can see so much mist in the air. I almost feel like I can reach out and touch it. I almost sense that there's a presence. The smoke filled the house. And when Isaiah saw this, when Isaiah saw him, when Isaiah came to a realization that he was the thrice holy God, wonderful and perfect, great and majestic over everything. When he saw that, he says, woe is me. Oh my goodness. I've seen him. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I am a mess. Out of my heart comes mess. Out of my heart is stuff that isn't right in me. There's no right thing. I'm no good. I see myself, because when I compare myself to him, I realize how much I've messed. Have you ever been around someone or something and you realize just how messed up you are? You find yourself in a situation and you realize just how little faith you have. You find yourself in a situation and you realize that you're not nearly as loving as you thought. You find yourself in a situation and you're not as strong as you thought you were. You find yourself in a situation and you're not good. You find yourself in a situation and you have no faith. You find yourself in a situation and there's no joy that's coming out of you. You find yourself in a situation and you don't love when you've been called to love. You find yourself in that situation. And that's what happens when you compare yourself to God. You might compare yourself to each other and you're just fine. But when you compare yourself to God, all you can say is, woe is me, I am undone. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You look around and you see those that you thought were so okay and you realize they're kind of quirky. That's such a nice way to put it. It's a mess. It's difficult. It's hard. I'm undone. And they're undone. And why? Because mine eyes have seen the King. I've seen him. I've seen him and I get it now. I get it. He's the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me. And this is after he realized how a mess he is, right? He is a mess. Then the seraphim came to him having a live coal in his hand. So he grabbed that from under the altar. Just a little side note. How scared would you be if something that could put a live coal in his hand and bring it to you? Yeah. You know, just think of somebody, they reach into the fire, grab a log and say, here you go. Here, I want to touch you with this. I want to touch you with this. And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. All of the twisted stuff in your life, yeah, it's iniquities, the twisted, the messed up. All the things that are botched up in your life, all of the things that are not straight, all of the things that aren't quite right, he's taken your iniquity away, and your sin has been purged. The things that you have done that were not right, the things that you have done that were not good, the ways that you have thought that were not true, he is taken it away. He's taken away your screwed up, twisted thinking, and he has taken away the actions that you have taken that were against God. He has cleansed you. That's what happens when you are born again. When you are born again, God delivers you from the sin that so easily besets you. God has taken away your sin. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. His blood cleanses you from all of your sin, and you are seen as new and clean. You are seen as changed. You are seen as having been made different. You don't have to think in twisted ways anymore. You can think of ways that are straight and right because he gives you the word of God, and you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and be not conformed to this world. No, you don't have to be conformed anymore, but you can get your mind right because of the grace, the sovereign choice, the enabling power, the unmerited favor, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the Spirit of God who's empowered you, he has cleansed you. And he tells Isaiah, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. And then after that, you're ready to hear something. Something that reverberates throughout Scripture. You're ready to hear something that he hears. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? They're having a little conference meeting here saying, who is it that I can use? Who is it that wants to be used by me? Now, this is a question for you today. Who is it that God can send? And who will go for us? See, there's one thing who God wants to send, but who wants to go? Who wants to go? Do you want to go for God? Do you want to go for God? So it says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. He was so glad that his iniquities were purged and his sin was taken away that he didn't even ask, where you want me to go? He just right then and there said, I'm it. Send me wherever you want, whenever you want, however you want. Listen, I'm asking you that today. Have you got to that level yet? The Bible tells us we need to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Are you there yet? I mean, you know, are you there that you will allow him to send you? Because if you are not sure that you will allow him to send you, then maybe you ought to check if you understand that he has cleansed you. You see, because once you've been cleansed, you are so thankful that you are immediately ready to say, oh, well, send me. And you don't care where it is. You don't care anything about that because you now know that he is the King of Kings. You've seen him. You understand he is worthy. You understand that he is great. You are ready. Here am I. Send me. Are you ready to be sent? Are you ready to go? Are you ready for God to do great and wonderful things in your life? Here am I, send me. Let's pause for just a second because you need to answer that question. You need to answer that question for yourself right now. Not sometime later. Right now, not sometime later. This is the time. This is the place. Because if you're not ready to be sent, go back to the place and say, Lord, save me. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? If you're not ready to say, send me, maybe you ought to say, save me. This is the sovereign of the universe. Don't you get that? We live in crazy, uncertain times unless you have a sovereign God. If you got a sovereign God, he's got you. He's in spite of all of this stuff may be swirling all around. All you're doing is enjoying the view. Like, that's so amazing. I can't believe it because God's with me. I'm all right. You know, Paul, I want to tell you something. We're going to kill you. Oh, you are? Okay, well, I'll be with Jesus. Okay, no, Paul. We're not going to kill you. We're just going to punish you. We're going to beat you. Oh, I get to suffer for Jesus. How exciting that is! And I'll be a witness to everybody about how good he is. We don't know what to do with you. I know, but God knows what to do with me, and he knows what to do with you. The question stands right now. Do you know him? Are you prepared for him to say, send me? I'm asking now. We go to verse 9. And he said, And the reason I need to stop there because you know, sometimes when we think we get saved, it's just a bed of roses, and we can go skipping around, you know. I'm just so happy I'm saved, and it's so good. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Woo! I got a good dance, a happy dance. Yeah. But I'm a little too dignified for that. I'm getting to be an old man, you know. When God calls you into this stuff, don't romanticize it, please. Please don't romanticize it. Let me show you why. Verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people. Oh, good, this is my message. This is the message I've got. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. Lord, what do you want me to tell them stuff that they're not going to understand? You want me to tell them they're not going to get it? And see ye indeed, but perceive not. You mean the towers can fall, plague can come, dissension can happen, stuff can happen in a country where people are nearly at war with each other, buildings burning, people cursing each other, people saying the most horrid things about each other, things happening where all kinds of officials are caught in all kinds of stupid stuff, all kinds of people from every different level that we can see get weird, sicknesses come, all of those things are happening and they're all happening at one time, and I'm supposed to get something out of that? Yes, you're supposed to get something out of that. But let's face it, many of us are not getting anything out of it. We're right in the midst of this crazy world, and we're supposed to be like the Bereans and looking in the Word of God to see if what is being said is true. We're like the sons of Issachar who are supposed to know the times and understand what's happening. That's who we're supposed to be. That's who we are. And he said, but our message is this. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, but see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, but understand with their heart and convert and be healed. We're making this thing clear. Who's in and who's out? Who's in? Are you in today? Are you in today? It's a choice. I want to be clear. And you are supposed to share the Word of God, and some people will not hear it. Then said I, Lord, how long? Okay, how long do we put up with this? How long? How long before just everybody just comes along and gets it? And he answered, you see, this is a chilling answer for me. This is a chilling answer. Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Guys, we're going through stuff that is a mess. You've got to decide, are you one of the ones being sent, or are you going to be one of the victims? I am really tired of everybody feeling like victims. No one in this room today, no one listening to me today has to be a victim. You can be on the winning side. You can be changed. You can be born again. You can have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. You can live in a way that you are filled with the Spirit of God in an ever-increasing way, so that you are more and more useful, and you have love and joy joy and peace and faith and perseverance and self-control and goodness. You could do that more and more and more and more. And at special times, God will come upon us to do whatever it is that he would have us to do. So the whole world is changed because we are a congregation of people who have been called to teach, preach, and heal. We are a congregation of people that are supposed to make a difference. We are a group of people who are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching people how to obey him. It can be done. Listen, I know you're saying, I don't know, but listen to this. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Jesus wants to show himself through you. He wants you to let your light so shine among men that they see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Let me end very quickly with this. Turn with me to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. 10th chapter of Hebrews. Let's go all the way down to verse 31. I was going to start quite a bit further back, but I know that our seats can't necessarily endure all I'm feeling. In verse 31 in chapter 10, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Do not believe that God is not in it. He's here. He's not looking from heaven going, did you see what those people did? No, he's here with us. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance. Remember, remember. That's the mantra of this week. Remember 9/11. Remember the things of your past. Remember what God has done. But call to remembrance the former days in which ye were illuminated, when you were saved, when you were changed, when you decided that you should be a part of a church. Remember when you were illuminated, you endured great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, people laugh, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. And this is the verse, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that having done the will of God, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Jesus is going to return and will not tarry. Now, right now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But ye are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Isaiah saw God, recognized God's holiness, saw himself recognized he was unholy, saw society recognize that it was unholy, was when he confessed his failure, when he confessed all of that, he was touched by God, cleansed of his unrighteousness. And when he was cleansed of his unrighteousness, he was so taken that he could say, "Here am I, send me." Let us do the same. Send us to a world that won't always hear us. Send us, because this is the last chance. People die every day. And we need the anointing of the Spirit of God to break the yoke of bondage so that we might serve him. Would you bow your head with me? Today, I just want one prayer for all of us. This is a prayer of surrender. Dear Father, I surrender. I believe that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior. I come to you recognizing that I have sinned and believing that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all of my iniquity, all of my sin. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, Lord, here am I. Send me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Consider that as Steve is playing. If God is moving on your heart, feel free to stand and we will pray with you and for you. But I understand. I understand that some of you will listen and will never respond. But don't be that person. Today is the day. Harden not your heart.